Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
What happened?
Hey, did your messenger mess up today?
No, I mean, I haven't really been on Facebook today, but no, nothing, not really. I literally wasn't on there before, like, you texted me.
Okay.
Good. I don't know, girl. You know how technology is always giving you something, you know, always, you know, making sure you're awake, you know, and woke, you know. Yeah. So what happened? Was it crashing for you all day long, really? The app was crashing or the actual site?
The app, I thought maybe I was, because I messaged so many people, and I thought maybe I was going to jail. So I was like, kind of like...
Oh, Facebook jail?
Yeah.
Let's see, why would you be going to Facebook jail? What's going on?
Because I messaged Facebook a lot of jail? People.
So what is Facebook? What is that, Facebook jail?
Oh, Facebook jail is when they know you're addicted. So they give you a timeout. They're like, oh, you can't use this feature anymore. You can't message people
That's
anymore.
That's the thing. Who is like the arbiter of like who decides when and why someone needs to be?
There is this thing called I forget what they're called, but they hire these rogue SJW like extreme leftist people. Like on Facebook.
Are you just saying that?
No, I put it on a quotation because I don't remember the name, but it's a real thing. Like when Mark Zuckerberg, when he went on trial, whatever, they talked about it because they were talking about basically liberties of free speech and da da da. And he says he had to hire those people because, you know, like to monitor the platform. But then I feel like a lot of these people, they just like laws have to be cutthroat dry. And then if you want to make people special, then, you know, laws have to like make a new law to make special things. But if you're going to make laws, it has to be blanket. Because if you make it like special for everyone else, then someone's going to be like, well, I'm a three-toed person. How about a law for me? You know? So,
I mean, I feel like because laws are come from like the morals of like wherever the laws are being made. So I'm trying to think what, I mean, I guess Mark Zuckerberg is a liberal, I guess. But do you have like, are you anti-leftist people?
How can you tell?
I mean, but discuss it. Like, what do you mean? Like, why? Would you say that, are you conservative or no? Do you feel like you're conservative or you're a centrist?
All my life, it's funny, all my life, even when I was, I can remember when I was even in middle school, people have also always made fun of me, called me Republican, and I didn't know what that meant. And in high school, people were calling me conservative because, you know, they use their words better, I guess. And then in college, the same thing. But not until, I didn't play the political game, not until Obama, maybe like, what was that? 08, like the first.
What about him? Do you not like Obama?
I love Obama. I think that's the first time I voted because that was the first time there was a hype about anything. Like, I think in our generation, maybe since the Kennedys, you know, like this being saying, that's a, or since Clinton, that was the first time there was a hype about a president that I can ever remember. You know, like Clinton, I was a kid, so I couldn't remember those things. Even Bush, I was an adult, but as a, you know, like a kid adult, but okay, in our adult lifetime, that was the first time there was a hype about a president. Like, let's go vote. Oh my God, it's president. So that's when the first time I ever voted was when Obama run. I'm the same age as you. I'm 39.
Oh, okay. Well, wait, there was a, well, what about like John Kerry or like, do you remember, I mean, John Kerry was, I feel like, I don't know, in Boston for me, that was kind of a, that was kind of a, but I mean, I have a lot of liberal friends, so I don't know. I mean, I guess Obama was a significant change in the like political atmosphere, but I just feel like just the laws, like Facebook jail, like I wonder like what, because sites have moderators, a lot of them do, a lot of like YouTube channels. But like, so, I mean, what is like, what is the intent of a moderator? Like, do you have moderators at all? On
well, they shouldn't be biased. They,
we're all biased.
If you Google it on YouTube, yes, we are, but we shouldn't when you're making laws.
I mean,
you know,
even
like, laws were biased,
we
right?
We try to minimize our bias.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's true. Even our laws were biased, but we're trying not to be. And I think as we progress as a human race, we're still trying to do good. Sometimes we do bad. And then the next generation was like, that was bad. And we're like, oh duck. Yeah, that was bad. I'm practicing my duck.
Well, yeah,
my
I mean,
by the way.
It's easier to look back in hindsight and you know, be like, that is what is bad. But it's sometimes it's hard for people to like separate themselves from their morals. Like, and I feel like it gets a little muddy. Cause like, I mean, there's no one who doesn't have a bias, I guess, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. I just feel like, so where'd you go to, I'm just curious about this Facebook jail. I don't know anyone who's been in Facebook jail. So
what?
I'm just like,
hold on. Are you not on Facebook that much then, I guess?
I feel like, I just wonder, like, are you having that many wars online with people in Facebook jail?
Yeah, I'm very vocal and I don't like when people say I cannot help it because you can, but in the instance of the word, I cannot help it. Like a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. Fucks people, whatever. None of it matters. And then I put myself into timeout. And after a couple weeks, sometimes days, I'm like, okay. And I'm right back at it. I'm just basically putting my opinion and what is so wrong about that. It's like, I'm not going out and, you know, like jack people up. I'm just saying what I think. And
I just, you know what I want? No, I just think like, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what could I get so mad about that I would ever like argue about? I don't know.
Well, like, many things. I mean, there has been many things. I think mostly things, I went to jail one time for 5 years. Like, my other page, like 5 years.
What?
It was because
a Facebook jail?
Yeah, I went to jail when Minneapolis happened. Who was that in Minneapolis? Something in Minneapolis happened. And then there was a big Black Lives Matter, whatever.
For what?
For talking, you know, having my opinion. And I went to jail. And it's funny. And anyone who's watching this, or if you have this conversation with anyone, it's funny how every 5 years or every 10 years, there's a political switch or political climate switch that happens. And if you want to play the game, you have to be on the right side. And whenever it switches, I'm often is on the wrong side because I'm someone who always plays devil's advocate and I'm a double-edged sword. So last year when Black Lives Matter happened, I switched side because I learned about certain things. But when Minneapolis happened, I was like totally for BLM when majority in the beginning were against BLM.
If that what majority sense. Was against BLM?
Huh?
What majority was against the BLM?
Even white folks. Like those people who are now, huh?
Of course they were, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, remember. Even those people who were in protest last year were against BLM prior. Last year, okay. for some reason, I don't understand why the majority of white people all of a sudden were like, I guess it's a good thing. I'm not going to question it much because it's like, it's good people are knowing, but it's curiosity. I would love if someone did that video, how all of a sudden all these white people who are against BLM or were against, who are just basically ignorant of life of other skin color people, all of a sudden were woke. I don't know if you noticed.
It was a process. Well, yeah, I think there was a dawning, but like it was, it's a process. I think that white people had to go and they had to do some serious like self timeouts to really think about it. Cause I think for a white person to understand what all is entailed in Black Lives Matter, I think it would be a slow process. You know what I'm saying? Cause they would have to recontextualize. They have to take all that they already know and then learn the counterpoints of BLM, but then they'd have to go and apply it. So it would be a slow process. You thought, I mean, so you were mad that they switched over, that they switched their minds?
Well, I know a lot of people and I would love to call people out, but I'm not someone who's for shame and guilt.
But yeah,
people.
But who did you think? Like, what did
I
you think?
I don't do it, yes. But I do it in my head. Well, someone I did it for a long time and I would talk to him about my Black experience and you know, mentioning the dirty word that a lot of Black people, I mean, excuse me, a lot of white people are afraid of is the white privilege word. And he was like, so, oh my God, about it. And who was last year in protest, photos, videos, and talking about white privilege and like, oh, I read this book and support him. And I was just like, and of course I felt a certain way. Like I felt a certain way because I've been talking about you this whole time and now you know, but at the same time, I was like, okay, I'm glad at least he's there. And I felt the same way with a lot of white people because I know those people like were the ones who like unfollow me or they unfriended me or they went on my DM to cuss me out. And the thing is with Facebook, if enough people complain about you, they will put you into jail and then you have to, there's a process of going to court. Like you have to say, okay, I don't agree with this. Da, 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 da. This is why you went to jail, and then you have to explain yourself, etc. Yeah.
Oh my, this is like so not my world.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I often say, if I was a vanilla, boring person with no personality, no creativity, and no life, 9 to 5, and I make my 6 figures, and that's good for me, I would not be not even on. I would have a flip phone. Like I live in the South where there's Hasidic Jews, they have their flip phones. I envy them because I was like, what a simple life. You just click, text, call somebody and you're done. Like this thing is a lot of trouble.
Are you aggressive?
Aggressive.
I want you to introspect some things. Like, yes. I mean, this is, I mean.
You know, I need to say
I, you know, I've traveled a lot. I've lived twice. A lot of places. I know a lot of people and I don't, this is this experience that I've heard about, but not anyone personally. I'm like, so do you feel like you're aggressive or how about this? Was there a better way that you think you could have handled things? Or like, I mean, I feel like anytime we can debate and not fight. Why does it always end up in a fight? Like why do you always end up in a fight?
Actually, if it's funny, if you see my post, actually, I usually post something very,
controversial
and brisk, and I don't do comebacks. I usually say what I say, and people say what they say, because I have this mentality, and of course, like I'm working on, because I'm not, how you call it, always right. Like I would say something like I truly feel at the moment, and then if you have to say something else, like let's say online, because if you and I are talking, it's different because we can go back and forth and get middle ground, whatever. But when it comes to like typing and just post things on comments, like I would just say what I need to say and I don't come back with it because I feel like that's the world of online. And yeah, it's hard to explain. But when people get
on my DM, I get it.
Because if I say something about white people are going to be offended and their comeback often is attack because they feel attacked, but I'm not attacking. I was just saying, hey, a lot of white people who has LGBT. Actually made a video about that. It's funny. I had to make the video four times because the internet kept messing me up. And I had to question. I was just like, is the universe telling me to sugarcoat my words or to not have that video? What do I need to listen about? So I'm keeping that video as a pause, but the video title is, I've only been called the N-word by white LGBT men. That's the title. And it's like, and then in the video, I explained that I've been called that less than even black people who love to say N-word, because they're just talking to, they say N-word, and they say that actually less to me than white men, because it's Grindr. People are, what's that thing called? Keyboard warriors. Like many times if I reject someone, when I reject people, it's usually, I think it's better if I just block them because there's no confrontation, or if I just don't say anything. Because whenever I say something like, I'm not, because I have to be honest, like I have this honesty fault. I have to be honest, yeah. So if I say, I'm sorry, I'm not attracted to you. And then sometimes I'll ask questions like, why? Like, you don't need to know why, I'm just not. And then they'll be like, N-word, whatever. This guy wanted to race play. Do you know? You know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
He wants to race play. And then I told him, that's not for me. I'm very lovemaking person. I like lovemaking and cuddling and romantic, even if it's for hookup, that's what I like to do. Pretend or whatever, because that's what I like to do. And he messaged me. He said, pathetic N-word. But on his IG, he was in Brooklyn, Black Lives Matter, wearing all white, when they had that white shirt thing with his friends and hanging out, black girls mostly. And I was just like, and I was gonna dox him, and I was just like, you know what? No, because, and it's funny you were saying, what do I have against or something? Maybe from the outside, it seems like I'm against things. I'm actually don't like to be against. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna truthfully ask that question about the aggressive. In my heart, I feel that I'm not aggressive, but I think I can be perceived as that, because actually for myself, I've been, even now I'm thinking, when I speak, I yell. And when I speak, I'm very like passionate with my body, even if I'm speaking about anything. So I have to question to like, why do that? Is it because of the Haitian culture? Because people are loud? Because they always make jokes like Haitians are so loud or very passionate. They're like the black Italian kind of a thing. Or is it because when I used to stutter so much, I was invisible. And then until I was able to be seen. Because another thing too, actually, I just had a memory. When I was forced, which was a good thing, to go special need classes, I guess. The guidance counselor told me, I need to do this regardless of my parents approve or not, because my parents need to approve, because I seem violent.
How old are
you? Yeah. And
how old were you when this happened?
I think, what is sixth grade? No, yeah, it was sixth
like grade. 11?
Yeah, around that age. And if anyone stutters, please tell me if you're watching this or know anybody. Because when you stutter, you want to get a word out. Mm-hmm. You have to punch something or you do this. And you go,
I used to stutter. I used to stutter as well. I went to speech therapy as well when I was younger.
Yeah. And then my thing was I had to punch and I had to kick to get a word out. And then if, you know, some words are like, I had to do this. And people thought I was, and I think I am, because there was a campaign in New York that says, what does, what's that word called? ADHD, not ADHD, that word. You know, the word that used to be called retarded. They changed it now.
Disabled or dis, what is it? Retarded. Handicap? What?
No, like kind of like special need, but there's a proper medical term. I forget about it. But the campaign was just like, what does fill-in word looks like? And it shows like different kind of people. You know, like those babies who are born, they look the same.
Yes.
Yeah, that syndrome something. And it says, yeah, and it says you don't need to look like that. And I feel like I'm in the spectrum of that. I feel like there's an extreme. There's like that extreme where you born, you look the same and then you like normal person over here. And I'm like somewhere closer to here probably. And anyway.
I mean, I'm... So what's fascinating about you is that because in our psyche, right? Well, see, well, one thing, we only can experience ourselves through the eyes of others. Think about it, because look, people who are attractive, they can say, "Oh, I'm really attractive," or I'm really attractive," or I'm very pretty. They only know that because how the world responds to them. Or I'm funny, I'm a comedian. You know that because people laugh, because you are able to make people laugh. So, but sometimes there are people who like, they're who they feel they are is not congruent with how the world, because if the, because it's like perception is reality. It's like,
yeah.
So it's like, if you don't feel you're aggressive, but the world's perceiving you as aggressive and you really don't feel you are, that's like the roots of that are very strong. Like that means that I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, everyone's totally. Telling
you, like, if you're going to Facebook jail and you're like, I don't feel I'm aggressive, but like, that some introspection, meditation, like, needs to happen, because perception is reality. So, like, if they're perceiving you that way, then it is the reality. If someone is experiencing you to be a certain way, then they're right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
What do you think about that?
Oh, 100%. Even when you said it the first time, and I think, with the learning process of knowing oneself, just like perfect example when you mentioned about the people last year, how I took the time to learn, to know and have aware, even whatever, because we've been saying it, our forefathers been saying it, you know, and some people are now getting it and some people are still not. And I think it's a process. I truly, and I tell the universe that I'm done with BS and I want to know and I want to learn and I want to grow and I want to not have BSing myself, because you can BS others all you want, but you cannot BS yourself.
So the ego is so deceptive.
Yeah.
The ego, like when you say BS, mm-hmm. like even the notion of what is BS is like, you don't experience BS to be BS because you think it's real. You know what I'm saying? We all do.
Mm-hmm.
And our ego, like when your ego is wounded or you feel slighted, a lot happens. Like it's like when they say like separate yourself from ego death, like when you truly have ego death, there's no need. Like I don't think I've had ego death, but like I really have very little. It's hard to make me upset because I don't identify with what I said. So it's like if you're getting upset all the time, what in you is wounded that you're getting angry about? Like what in you is attached that you have to go, like that's the ego. Mm.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? I want you to think about that. Cause like the anger is like, what are you angry about? Like they just said this. Why, like what, where's the anger? Cause the anger should be like, I wonder why you said, why did you say that? Like that's what should be like, if you're attacking, like it's like a righteous anger. Like you, like the ego feels like I'm right. So you have to introspect all these instincts.
Yeah.
Because when the ego is truly gone, all there is love. There is only love. And if someone's different from you, you're supposed to say, "Oh, wow, that's an interesting point. Why do you feel that way? You really want to know." Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work, a lot of inner work. But have you ever had therapy before? Ever like gone to like actual therapy, like for like a psychologist at all? So I've been in therapy forever, but have you ever done therapy?
I have been. I think maybe 5 times, because I went to 2 of them. Because one of them I went to, and then she says, like, I don't see what we need to do here. She just actually was just like, why are you here, basically? Kind of like, I don't understand why you're here. And then she was like, okay, let me send you to this other person who's like above therapy, who's like big and whatever. And even I went to him and he was just like, and he messaged was like, I don't understand why
it's not for you. You don't need that. Because whenever I talk to people, I talk about all my stories. I'm very frank and I'm very naked. That's one of the reasons I did the podcast too, to just be naked and not be like BSing. And so, yeah, I did go. So I'm taking your points. I'm going to meditate on that. And
therapy is just like, you don't go for a reason. There's no reason. Like you go and, I mean, therapy can be like even two friends talking. Like therapy is just you getting an objective viewpoint,
right?
Of self awareness.
Uh-huh.
Oh, a therapist does. I mean, I don't know. It's a subtle perspective shift. But my only question is like, why there's a lot of anger in your spirit. And I just wonder about it. You know,
wow,
I mean,
wow.
I mean, the last fight I was in, I don't even know if I remember. Like, I mean, yeah, like, yeah. I just wonder, like, is there a lot of anger there? Like, what is the mechanism inside your mind that is happening where you don't genuinely want to engage your fellow human? You don't want to even engage your fellow children of God. You just want to throw something at the wall. Boom, I'm done. Bye. Like, where's the dialogue? Why is that not the mindset? I'm really just curious.
One thing that could come up is not wanting confrontation.
Dude, you can confront non-aggressively though.
Yeah. I mean, when I truly, in my experience, like even people, mostly people interact with are people in my house. And when I interact with them, I don't interact aggressively. I think there is this thing online. I'm very like, when you call it, you're a keyboard warrior, I'm very like vocal and is aggressive, but like in person, I'm totally not. And maybe I think it's just like wearing a different mask because as you're talking like this, I'm thinking like in the past or my interaction with other people, most people when I meet them or when I hang out with them, and if anyone ever met me watching this, they often go like, oh my God, like you're so cool, like you're so calm, and they want to be my friend, whatever. And I did actually made a video about why I keep people at arm's length. And I don't really friend people. And if I would friend people, for some reason, they have to, but subconsciously, something like they go through a trial and then we become friends by default like that. I don't know how to explain it really. I guess I could see a therapist with that topic or subject. And then she and I, or he and I can talk about that. And then I can understand why, because I don't really understand why, but I made a video about it.
Honestly, you should just see a therapist just to gain objectivity. Because for a fight to happen, uh-huh. Two people have to engage in the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, like, totally. Like if someone, there's always fights online, but not in person.
Right, but like think about even basic fight. Like if I'm at a bar, somebody comes up to me and they punch me. I'm just like, I could either punch back or be like, wow, what's going on, sir? And I mean, yes, it's not like, it's not, in order for it to be a fight, I have to punch him back. Then it's a fight. If I just say, hold on, sir, are you okay? What happened? Who are you mad with? Who do you think I could, you know what I'm saying? You can also do that. No one ever does that, but because then it's not a fight. It's only a fight if you engage the fight. So do you feel like you're engaging the fights?
Definitely in the beginning. And then I was just like, oh shit, that's a fight. And then I just leave. That makes sense. I never, when they say finish your fight, I never finish. I'm like,
we'll talk about that. Let's unpack that. Why? Then we're an emotional terrorist. We're just going and dropping bombs and going. I mean, think about it. And most emotional terrorists that I know don't really think about it. It's like you're an emotional, you come in and you say this, all these inflammatory things, and you just leave.
Yeah.
Like, but come on now. Let's unpack that.
Well, okay. So I'll make like a simple explanation. Let me see here. So the things that I've gone to jail about in the past, mostly now is different, but let's say when I went to jail for 5 years with my other account, it's when Minneapolis happened. And of course, I said a lot of things about white people. And of course, emotional stuff. But one thing I tend to not do, I don't name call and I don't attack character, if that's the thing. I just tend to say, like, repeat history. Like, I'll repeat what I've seen in history and experience. Like, what, or let's say if you're going forward, my thing, let's say what grinds my gear is about the LGBT people. They're like, hey, we're pro this. And they often talk about people of color, and they went on their IG, they post all this BLM stuff. And I know not for a fact, of course, but my perception and my interaction with them, they're just faking it. And of course, that's like, and I could totally work on that, because I actually am working on not, because I don't want to make an excuse and be like, well, I have emotions. And then later on, I'm like, oh, I felt bad and I shouldn't feel that way, kind of a thing. It brings something in within me. I'm like, oh, this guy's so fake.
But what's your intention with them? I mean, so what are you trying to do? Like, what intention or result are you trying to have happen?
Well, I don't engage them. Usually I post my stuff on my wall. Like, I never message anybody about what I feel. And I never comment on anyone's post about how I feel. But I post on my own wall. Because I feel like people are entitled to how they feel, that I don't need to have a counterpoint.
Because then you're not, because I feel like.
Yeah, that's how I do
discussing
it.
Your feelings, like. Yeah, it does. Because your feelings don't go away. Then they manifest, like, yeah. These outbursts, I guess.
Yeah, so when I post on my wall, then people come to my comment and then they see what they say. And then, of course, then I will have the comeback. And then that's when there is a fight. But I know for a fact, like, I never name call anybody. I don't ever say, oh, you're stupid or you're racist or this and that and that. And, you know, all this attack things or go
well,
on.
Why don't, well, how, well, why don't we just remove their comment? Like, why isn't that? Is that not an ever option?
Oh, now it's totally as of like late, like when 2020 happened, I was like so into it. But then I think as of like fall, what I do is I just ignore comments. Like, I leave the comments there because I like the receipt. I don't know, just another ego thing. But yeah, I totally don't engage. And as I mentioned, like you're saying, emotional therapist, like throw something out. Like when people have whatever they say, I don't say anything. But then, as I mentioned prior,
well, I mean, do you listen or do you, I mean, because sometimes they might have a point, like, we get very specific. It was like, well, so-and-so said this. Well, do we read it? Do they have a point? Are they misguided? Like, do you try? I mean, like, there's so many other options that we could happen besides all this. I'm just curious. I'm just like, what happened?
Yeah. So in the past, like, let's say when Minneapolis happened, my option was like, actually, I was more a fire person, and I would doing the black person teaching the white person stuff. And it's very exhausting and it's emotional. And so, but later on when 2020 happened, I would just post my stuff and people would have whatever they want to say. And I would not reply. And then people usually when they say something and then they're waiting for you to reply and you haven't at a timely manner, what they do is then they take it to a DM. And then when they're in private, that's when they're very, very nasty. Because in the comment, they know people are going to read it. But in the DM, they're nasty. And so usually that's when I just block them. Or we chat sometimes. I would say I block them like 80% and we chat like 10%. And the other times, sometimes I just go like, I'm sorry, I don't want to teach white people about whatever. Or what I'll do is there's a book called White Fragility, and then I'll send them that. And then even the title, White Fragility, some people will take very offensive to it, like, oh, white privilege. And then they get more fired up.
And but see, so, if we're ever going to get anywhere in this discussion, like,
yeah,
we've got to do, we all have to do better about engaging.
Yeah.
Because, like, Are you genuinely trying to educate people or trying to show people the way? Like, I mean,
I do not want to educate or show people the way because it's not my It's not my, it's, that's not the duty that I either choose to have in life or even want to have in life.
That's because totally fine. That's totally fine. Yeah. But then who's doing it?
I used to do that in the past too. Like, it's exhausting. Like, but look, and but then look, I'm not getting paid.
I agree with that. But you are someone who is very angry about it happening. Yeah. And they're calling you nigger and there's all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you're so, like, well, so that's my job. Solution. That's fine. But, yeah. But do you see, like, that's fine. But then you can't be angry about, because, yeah, it's not your job at all. But then you can't be so angry about when these things happen to you because you're not, you know what I'm saying? Because you want the change. Because Gandhi said what? Be the change you want to see in the world. You see what I'm saying? So, like, out in your mind, these things make you upset. You don't want to change it. So you don't want to educate people. Do you see how that's not congruent?
I mean, how do I? Even when I'm in a relationship, I don't change people. Like in relationship, when people behave a certain way, because they have the right to behave the way they do. And I'm going to look at that. But when people behave a certain way, when I feel like people misbehave or when they do something against me, of course I bring it up. And anyone watching this, like if they've been together with me, they know I'm very amiable. I bring things up very, I usually say, this is happening. How can you help us fix this? And even in my home, that's what I do. But then people keep misbehaving toward me, as in like, if you're in a relationship, you need certain things and et cetera, whatever, whatever. And they keep misbehaving. What I do is I just walk away. Like I just walk away. Like even in dating or Grindr or trying to like texting people, if I don't feel comfortable, like the word, like I learned from this lady, she says, if you don't feel comfortable, just walk away. And I totally agree with that. Instead of having that discussion, because when discussion happened, people, there's this much of argument thing. I don't like it. And I just walk away. And maybe walking away, of course, is not the right thing, but I just cut ties and walk away. Because not many people are able to fix things. And of course, like you were saying with perception, I think I'm able to fix things, but maybe I'm just fooling myself. Maybe I'm one of them. So this is why I feel like it's better and easier to just walk away or block people, which I know I've done a lot. And I've talked about that to ask myself why, because they're engaging other people to see if they've done the same thing, et cetera. And I can look in my past to see how But do you have, how you call it, when the word advice, like, do you have, because you said many great things that I agree with and that I heard before and I've implemented in my life, of course. Are there anything like specific you would think, kind of like a, not a yoga pose, but if it was a yoga pose, like a pose I should do and that could. Like,
I mean, it's really about just the way, the entire perspectivity about the whole thing. Like, if you engage the world, is everyone that you meet is we are all the summation of our life experiences. So everyone that you meet is, in a sense, doing the best that they can do from where they're at. So I would say meet everyone where they're at.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what gets into trouble is our expectations.
Yeah.
About things. And also too, like, is our life just spent to avoid discomfort? Like, if we spend our lives running away from discomfort, where does growth happen? Like, how do we stretch ourselves beyond our own minds? Like, yes, you can be like, if you're uncomfortable, walk away. Well, then, yeah, but then where does that get you? Like, you don't develop the skills to have discussions and communicate your point without having to shout or really, because you are responding. You're listening to understand, not to respond. Listening to understand, not to respond. It's not about, I mean, no, it's very rare someone just listens to understand, not to respond. So like, this is, I mean, it's just subtle ways we can interact with people. And it's a cultivation, it's a work in progress, but like, especially with the politics thing, it's like, in politics, no one ever listens to understand, because I'm a leftist, you're not gonna change me, but like,
the minute you identify with being a leftist or being a being or that or you're othering, they're a leftist, they're a rightist. Like, that's the whole framework of your mind is then altered, augmented, because we've already labeled them. When we call them a leftist or call them anything, call them a communist, what we're doing is dismissing them or quantifying them in this little box. You know what I'm saying? And like, we need to be careful about doing that, because when we're doing it like after it happened, it's fine. We're doing it in live time with someone. You know, we want to take away all the boxes and all the labels of who this person is. Like, listen to them. You know, if I met Donald Trump on the street, I would just want to just hear what he said. Just to hear, like, what's going on, Donald? How are you? What's up? You know, just but really being curious, because like, how did Donald Trump get to be Donald Trump? Does he experience himself to be a megalomaniac? Probably not. He probably thinks he's a really great guy. He probably really does. And how did he get here? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I mean, like, but like, it sounds funny, but like, that's how we need to be interacting. Otherwise, with the political thing with the whites, I mean, yes, it is very hard to educate white people. It's very exhausting. It is exhausting. But like, think about it. If you were white and you worked hard your whole life to have this life, and someone came along and told you that, like, well, actually, all that you have, like, you would be the same way. I know it.
It
would be hard for me. Yeah, I get why it's hard to be like,
because they don't like me either. Because I say that, because I'm, as I mentioned, I play devil's advocate and I'm do devil as sword. I say exactly what you said to black people who's like complaining about white people, and then,
Don't you see why your white friends would have had a very hard time understanding white privilege and why that would be a slow process?
Yeah. I totally see it. Yeah. One thing I've done is acceptance.
Yeah.
When I accept, I just don't need to say anything because it is what it is. Like, I could find something else, of course, with time, something else that can work better maybe. But what I've done now is not saying anything. I've said things on my podcast now because I feel like, okay, it's my platform, whatever. But when it comes to talking with other people, especially when people have like strong like wills, whatever, I don't have comebacks because I feel like you have your opinion and you have the right to your that opinion. Of course, I feel differently. So therefore we can agree to disagree and that conversation is over really. Because I'm not someone who goes and I think this. It's like, and I do agree with you with the growth. When you interact with other people, you can have debate and you grow and you find different things, whatever.
Name someone that you really disagree with. Like, who is someone that you like really, like, what is one point of view? Because remember that, how the, yeah.
Someone I disagree with?
Or a point of view.
Okay, so funny thing is, okay, someone I actually love and I watch a lot and I love him, but I disagree with him a lot, but I do, it's complex. I'll make a big name. So Ben Shapiro. I don't know if you know him.
Okay. I know of him, yes.
Yeah, so Ben Shapiro, like, he says a lot. I feel like he's, because of my experience, he says a lot of shit. And then I don't agree with a lot of stuff he does, but I love listening to him. And when he's talking, it's as if we're talking, because I feel like he's doing his best to understand, because certain things like he has. And a lot of stuff, too, what I like about this kind of people, they talk about facts more than emotions. And this is where I fall in, like, someone can call me conservative or Republican, which I don't even see myself as, because I don't label myself as those things. But I am not empathize, but I join the group more of the Candace Owens and the...
Wait, what about Candace Owens? What about her?
Candace Owens, because they tend to like just... Well, Candace Owens talks a lot about emotions. So I cannot say. She says facts and emotions, but I've noticed with Ben Shapiro, he's more like, this is a facts. And then he'll have his emotion or opinion later. I tend to not agree some of his opinion because I was like, okay, you cannot really talk about something and then have your opinion because of course you're not living it. So he's like one of the people, as you mentioned, name someone that I disagree with, but I,
to wait, me- so you like Candace Owens? What, you like Candace Owens?
Oh, I don't like Candace Owens. I love Candace Owens.
Talk about that.
Talk about what I love about it. Okay, when I'm thinking, I love Candace Owens because she's saying what she feels and thinks and not giving a what about it. That's what I like about that.
Why is that good? Why is that admirable quality?
Why? Because I feel like she's not letting people
do, even a crazy person can do that. Even a crazy person can do that.
I mean, yeah, I've seen him on the New York train, in New York City train, right?
I mean, that's not really an accomplishment to do that. That's like a lack of like awareness to do that. Like, say what you're thinking. You're saying because she's what she thinks doesn't care.
No. Not when I say what I was just not care. I think it's not caring how people perceive her or think about her. I only like that because a lot of people are being fake and having a mask, and I've done that a lot of my life, appeasing people. You feel a certain way, but you put on a mask to appease other people for their well-being of their emotions. And you probably know that, yeah, we can influence people's emotions, but their emotions is their own for them to actually have that. And so therefore, I feel, and if she can say herself, but from watching her, I feel like she doesn't give a shit about what people think of her or feel about her. And that's what I like, because that's how I've grown to be, because all my life, because as I mentioned, I had speech impediment and I was crippled in my legs, and people have called me all sorts of name, little N-word, dark baby or ugly Haitian, and like whatever. And so I grew up not caring what people think about me, which helped me to survive, because I was just like, you can say whatever you think about me because I know I'm not that. You know when they say, I know you are, what am I, kind of a thing. And as I grew up now, I know that's why I don't do name calling. Like if I do it, it's like a mistake, because it's like a thing in front of my head. I don't do name calling. I don't attack people's characters. Maybe because of my background where I rather talk about what's happening instead of like attacking what you're wearing or how your body is, et cetera. Because I don't do things like that. But a lot of people will do that to punch under the belt. This is why my experiences with a lot of the white LGBT, when we start the argument, and then when they leave, when they have nothing else to say, they say N-word just to like spite me. But I'm not an African-American, I'm Haitian-American. So therefore N-word doesn't have that great of an impact on me. The only impact it does have on me is just like saying, oh, it's kind of like gives me the thing of, I'll thought it and I never said it to anyone. So I'm just going to say this one time, my thought process. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, when people think in your experience that all white people are racist, and people who are not white or people who are white will say, well, of course it's not all everybody, but then people usually talk in general. Usually when we say people or all people, we don't literally mean 8 billion people. But in your experience, when that's happening, especially LGBT people who's like, all Black Lives Matter, and then they're going on your DM and they say, let's do race play, or call you little N-word because they want something from you sexually, or and then you're not giving to them. It's like, in my experience, it's giving me like a percentage and be like, okay, so 80% of these white people call me N-word all the time in private. Like, then is it all white people that's racist, or is it not? Is it because one, just like in the Bible story when God was gonna kill the Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, I'm gonna kill everybody because everyone's bad. And then Lot was arguing with him. He says, how about if there's 100 people? He says, there's not 100 people. He says, how about if there is 5 people? And he says, okay, because you're faithful, something, something. I don't remember the whole story, but you know, if you remember that story. So if anyone is Bible story, so they can see what I'm saying. So even God was killing everybody, because even God speaking in general, saying that everyone is bad. So therefore, if you're hearing this, when people say all white people are racist, people are just talking about their experience. They're not saying all white people that live on this earth, because obviously that's impossible. But in my experience, of course, I want to say all, but I know it's not, of course. A lot of white people, I'll say most, if word matters, of course, right? They are closeted racists. And I'm in that video. There's this.
You said most are?
Yeah, most are closeted racists in my experience. I even have I have receipts. And you know, sometimes I delete them because I don't want to keep that energy. And you write about this, what you said about the perception. I know for a fact for me, when it comes to argument, I don't argue the way people argue. And I know I'm loud and I know I'm expressive. But when it comes to, there's another quote in the Bible that says, be angry, but do not sin. So I'm angry, but I don't sin. The sin as in fighting people physically or mentally, calling them names or attacking them, going on their DM, making fake profiles or reporting them, or have doxing, canceling. I don't do those things because I feel like it's so much energy and it's so more darkness, and I don't want to get into the darkness part. But
I do read a lot about the law of attraction.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
I want you to really meditate on that this week.
Yes, I'll do that. I'll do that, definitely. And I actually made a post about fear. If you have so much fear, you attract fear. Yeah, definitely. I'll take you on that. And actually tonight, because I meditate in the morning and at night. So what you are inside, you attract.
I mean, it's like.
But how do I attract like closet racist white people?
I mean,
in my
what
life?
You're saying
it
is
interesting to know that.
Because there's so, there's so much combat in your spirit, in your energy.
Yeah.
It's very latent, but it seems the way that you navigate spaces
mm-hmm.
is like very just on. I don't know.
Do that again.
There's a lot of combat and aggression in your spirit. It's very subtle. It's very subtle.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it's very subtle. It's so like, it's not blatant, but like there is a combativeness. And that's how the law of attraction gets us, because it's like the things that are just so subtle in our spirit that uh-huh. we're like, why is this in my experience, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, but even the notion of like in my experience, it bears introspection.
Yes.
I'm not saying it is or isn't, but like when I say things like in my experience, I have to be mindful of like, well, because on some level, we are literally creating the world as yes. we navigate it, like yes. on some level. So like some monks would say like, whatever you're getting and people giving you, you're wanting this on some level, you're wanting it. So like,
yeah,
and so not like, I mean, and obviously that, but it's true on many levels. So there's always a part of every circumstance that you have that you're beckoning this forward in your spirit, a part of everything.
Yes.
I don't care whether it's like, right. It's like on some level, if it's like 1%, you're calling this to you. You're gathering this, so it is very subconscious. It's almost like beneath your awareness. So, it just mm-hmm. it just bears introspection. I don't know, because I mean, honestly,
I love this conversation.
I mean, have you heard of solipsism? Solipsism is though. Solipsism.
I never heard of that.
That's the idea that there is no one else in the universe but yourself. That this is all mind, and all everything that you see is a mind projection, yes, and all yes. your enemies are just you. Everything yeah. you're trying to, it's just you. And yeah. and I don't really believe that, but like there are tenets of that I'm like, that is so profound. That if everything in your life is a mind projection, your mind is projecting out. So mm-hmm. all that you're complaining about, all that you're but this is just you, you're fighting yourself. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? That's why I say, like, I mean, because the more I do my spiritual work, the less of a fight there is in me. There's no fight in me. Mm-hmm. You can't fight me. Call me whatever. Call me a nigger. What? Okay. Why did you? Okay. You feel better now? Like, well, let's talk about that. You won't get a fight out of me. There's no anger to be had. Because when you realize that, like, it's all mind, and everyone you meet in your life is coming to teach you something. It's all very profound. Until you see that everyone in your life that you meet is coming to teach you a lesson. And also Buddhism says that everyone that you meet in your life, you're going to see in every life, you're going to see again next time, next lifetime. So it's all going around circles until, and then you transcend your karma. Mm-hmm. When you finally learn the lessons you're supposed to learn, when all the mm-hmm. fighting stops, because there's no fight to be had. There's nothing to prove. There's no, like, you know, I mean, yes, you seem like someone, you have something to really prove to the world. You have something really to say and a cross to bear to the world.
100%. And as I mentioned, like, sometimes I've been put myself in time out and be like, I don't need to do all of that. But then there is this part of like, oh, I cannot help it. And then I go back on saying things. And so even, what's it called? Case in point of a Supreme Court here is like what's that thing? When they, evidence, number one evidence is the podcast. Cause I feel like I have something to say and I'm gonna say it. Because for so long, I feel like you're saying, what I admire about Candace Owens, like, I feel people sometimes bully me and sometimes people want to shame me to not say certain things. And I'm in myself, not expressing it, not venting. So therefore, maybe that's where the anger just builds up, because I'm not expressing and venting.
Are there ever times where you shouldn't say something? Are there ever times, like, that's fine, but like, are there ever times that people are right? Are there ever times where you're like, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't say this. Like, are there ever times? Is everything that we think is not supposed to be said? So are there ever times, who is the person in your life who says, like, who is the person who says, like, you shouldn't say that? Like, who is the person giving you, or do you feel like you have a right to just say everything that comes to your mind?
I don't have those people in my life.
How do you determine when you're wrong? How do you determine when you're wrong? Or when you have misstepped, or when you've been misguided? Like, Because then, otherwise you end up running a rampant, and no one can say, "Hey, girl, hey," like, because you
are true. Like, well, girl, because I've kept people all my life 6 feet away, so I don't have these people in my life, unfortunately. And I mentioned it.
The times where people have like kept you silent, have they ever been correct? I mean, because sometimes silence is golden. Sometimes it's time to just listen.
Yeah.
Just listen. Are there ever times that you're
and you're quiet? People like you talk to me, of course, but most people who disagree with me, when they have to say whatever they say, it's a barking back thing, because what I say usually is potent. What I say is brisk. Like, right.
It's potent, but yeah. who determines it's potent?
Them.
No. See,
they get offended. No, because they get offended, and then they said, I don't like what you said about this or this white person, about white people, or about LGBT, or about the left. Like, I even posted something about, what's her name? Oh my God, I'm forgetting names now. What's her name? What's her? Blair White. She talked about something, and I was like, Blair White for president, like, just whatever. And then people who don't like her just get at me, because I say that. And so what I've done is, as of late 2020, fall 2020, 2021, I just ignore people. And as I mentioned, then they get on my DM because they'd be like, you don't want to ignore me. And then people get mad. So I don't argue with people anymore. I just block people, ignore them. And it would be nice to have an entourage of friends that can be like, hey, you could have said something better. I know sometimes I could have said certain things better, definitely. But I know, because I manage my words kind of like Obama. I think before I speak about certain things. So my words tend to be like very constructed, because before they go out there. Doesn't mean they won't be brisk or brask or whatever the thing is, but it's just like, is very constructed before it goes out there. But I have a question for you. Something that just came in mind. Oh, I think I mentioned too. Some white guy you're talking to on Grindr, and he seems to be like very leftist, and I'm not against leftist, but let's just say I'm not a fan of most leftist ideology, but we're not going to talk about that like deeply, but just that story, because I want to see your opinion of how I could behave. And so we're getting to know each other, whatever, you're cool. And then he starts talking about race play.